Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 21 of Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and I have my wonderful co-host, Erica Latham from thebabybroad.com joining me today to talk about anger and anxiety. Hi, Erica.
I was mid-blowing my nose just now. I'm so sorry. I put you on mute. I thought I was done before you hit record. I just had one more toot.
Well, let me remind people that if they want more Erica, then they think... They can go to your site, you know, some of this lovely Erica.
On that note. Boy, if you want to hear more of that.
Go to thebabybroad.com and subscribe to Erica's wonderful weekly newsletter, which are full of insights and humor.
It's full of something.
Not to say anything, but, you know, I didn't get to really read today's blog yet. It came out a little late.
Listen. Do you want to know the process? Do you want to know what happens? No one is holding a gun to my head to do this. This is completely, I'm doing this to myself.
You're writing, the writing every week.
The writing. You are holding a gun to my head to do this podcast. And let me clarify. I start this on a Tuesday. I'll pick a topic. Wednesday, I'll say like, yeah, I'm so great and look at me with all my words. Thursday, I get into panic mode, like, oh my God, I don't know anything. I know nothing about grammar. I have nothing to say. My life is meaningless. Thursday night at about 10 o'clock, I text everyone I know and I say, tell me you love me. And then sometimes I get it done by like midnight on Thursday. Sometimes, like last night, I had Indian food with my cousin Kate and I just couldn't even. So I did it this morning. In bed, by the way. Really phoned it in. No, I don't phone it in. But it's my process, and then I start it all over again.
That's okay. That's okay. We all have our process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're not writing, the process is unfolding, right? That's how I like to look at it. Oh, it's still productive.
Okay. Yeah. Productive.
Yep. Yeah. You're like, uh-huh. Okay, Kelly. So
I believe that on non-blog days.
So a lot of people I've worked with, you know, myself included, have reported feeling more irritable, dare I say, even rageful when anxiety levels are high.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm so happy. When you texted me this week and said, we're talking about anger, I was like, yes, I love this.
I love it. With just because a hint of anger behind it. Excited.
There isn't a strong enough word for how awful I was my whole life. Just angry, just like shortest fuse. People had to walk on eggshells around me always. Yeah. And I had no idea that it was anxiety central. No clue.
I had no idea either. I was really the same way before. Anxiety kind of smacked me in the face hard enough that I really had to like take a look at myself and my beliefs and habits and all those things, all those fun things. I really walked around so irritated anytime I felt held up by anybody, which just happens because everybody's going about living their life. And, you know, the universe does, in fact, not exist around me. So people get in our way. People don't act as we want them to act. And I would react with so much impatience and anger and just had no clue there was like another way. I was just like, no, you know, I just had no clue. And I was telling you, no wonder I had to work out twice a day. Like, it's a lot of anger, a lot of seething anger all the time.
You look just like Wonder Woman with all those muscles, but you were intolerable.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Like I where I lived in, hopefully there are people from my hometown listening to this. There's a street called Hoosick Street. It is packed every hour of the day and night. It's like the worst road ever. And where I would have to turn onto this road from, you have to turn left and no one would let you out. My mom's actually guilty of this and everybody's doing it at you. Everybody's blocking the road at you. Like it's very aggressive.
It's very personal.
Very personal. These people, they don't know me. You know, they, oh God, I just the amount of energy I've wasted being like screaming at people in my car with windows rolled up. Like the things I've said and the curses I have,
it's not the boxes
I've put on all of their houses. I can't explain. Like, why are you doing this at me, you a-hole? You know, just, oh my God. Or maybe mine are all driving related. If you're on,
you sound like Andy. That's what we talked about in the podcast with Andy.
That's
like, yeah, that's Saint. I don't, driving's not like my thing as much, but he gets like, he gets really aggravated. Like, God forbid someone to put on a, forget to put on a blinker or like.
Oh, my nerves. Yes.
Yeah.
Why? We get so mad. And I remember listening to somebody, if somebody cuts me off or if we're in like in traffic trying to get off or on a highway and somebody pulls up 1,000 miles an hour past all the traffic and tries to cut in front of you. And that I'm one of those that will like block them. Like I'm standing up for the human rights. Like I'm going to teach you a lesson that you needed to learn when you were 8, you know? Yeah. And we all wait in line. Somebody somewhere, some wise person, I know it wasn't you. Somebody said something like, maybe they're on their way. Maybe their wife's in labor.
Yep.
Or maybe they got fired today. Like take yourself out of it completely. Maybe it's not about you at all. Maybe they are just a jerk. Maybe they don't know any better. You know, they truly think that, but maybe it's just not about you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's, we don't really think of anger this way, but believe it or not, anxiety and anger are two sides of the same coin. Some very similar things are happening when we're in that highly emotional state. One of them being like just being completely clouded by our emotions, right? Like just completely overwhelmed by it. It, of course, when we're in that high emotional state, everything feels about us, right? Like that's, it feels so personal, like this is being undone to us. But yeah, we don't really think of anger as being the flip side, right? The flip side of anxiety.
You and I have talked a lot about this. And the way you explain, because it didn't make sense to me that, anxiety is fear. Like when you think about anxiety, you think like fear, I'm afraid and I'm a wimp and I'm, you know, sad or depressed or like whatever the things you think about anxiety. But the way you explained how they're related was really helpful.
Yeah. So it's the stress response we all feel by going through anxiety is called fight or flight, right? We talk about that quite a bit. It's called fight or flight. Fight is anger, flight is anxiety. And
boom.
Yeah. Those of us that are struggling with anxiety, we have a tendency towards flight, but
when we're scared,
exactly.
Yeah.
But overstimulation of the stress response can show up as anger too, especially if we're feeling cornered or wronged, right? Like that person cuts us off,
God forbid.
or if we feel wronged. And it's because the same thing is physiologically happening when we're angry as when we're anxious. So cortisol, our best friend that we talk about all the time.
Love it.
Yeah. Cortisol, the steroid hormone, it's produced in the adrenal glands in response to stress. And it is our primary stress hormone and is responsible for activating the body's fight or flight response in a whole array of stressful situations. And when our body is under chronic stress, like anxiety, our cortisol levels remain a little higher than they normally do. And I like to compare it to this. Like people, most people out there have heard of the term roid rage, right? Roid is short for steroid, like roid rage. Or if you're taking a round of steroids for like an infection prescribed by your doctor, a lot of people will take prednisone, which is, you know, it's a steroid, just like a cortisol. And one of the common side effects is irritability, that anger, that frustration.
One time I had a really bad cut and I had to put a steroid on it, and that part of my body was irate.
Irate.
That little cut on my arm was just couldn't deal with my nonsense.
Just couldn't even. But as we address our anxiety, right, as we kind of move through our anxiety, learn more about it, our body begins to get out of that habitual fight or flight state, and the cortisol levels will lower and the irritability will fade as well. It's just a byproduct or a side effect of the fight or flight response, this anger. So sometimes we get really busy trying to make the anger go away or like judge ourselves like, oh my gosh, I'm such a horrible person. Why am I mad all the time? And it really is just a symptom. It's really just a symptom.
But back up, because when anxiety hit me like a ton of bricks, like a big truckload of bricks. I was literally at work on a conference call having incredible rage at someone over the phone.
Yeah.
And work, I hear this a lot in what I do. And I think a lot of people in the corporate world feel this. You know, why is this person such an idiot? Why are they doing this at me? Why is my boss, you know, everything's at you? And that day, my very first panic attack, or the one at least I noticed, I mean, literally my whole body was so tight. That's what made me feel like I was having a heart attack. I'm like, I couldn't breathe. I was, flames were shooting out of my nose pretty much. Like so angry.
What my husband calls dragon mode.
Absolute dragon mode.
He calls it dragon mode when my nostrils are flaring and I take a big inhale in like a dragon about to just exhale.
What does he
like
do to get you into dragon mode? I want to know.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
It's just me.
Dragon mode for sure. So,
So did you feel rageful before the panic? Like, was this rage or anger?
Yeah. Okay. And everything people would do around me, my poor family, people I worked with, everything was, they're all idiots. I know better. They're doing this at me. Why does everything happen to me? So it wasn't even an option for me to see it as a part of anxiety, you know, it was, or to let it go. And in fact, I thought my rage was like diligence. Like I thought it was productive. Like I need to be so worked up about something. Being worked up and being this stressed out means that I am productive.
Right.
So how do you, first of all, can you convince somebody that maybe that side of your stress isn't really helpful, and letting it go doesn't mean that you're going to be less effective. I can tell you from personal experience, the more I let that crap go, the more I got done. But
it's really the age old rule that your parents tell you when you're really angry as a kid, and they're like, count to 10 before you say something, like count to 10, slow it down. Like it's because when we're in that, again, it's like anxiety. When we're in any highly emotional state, our perspective is lost. We can't see clearly. Right. So
very literally, right? Like doesn't our vision actually change? Like our pupils constrict or some stupid thing.
Dilate. They dilate.
One of them. You know.
You're close. You're close.
There's only two ways they can go. And you pick it's a, one. So, just, 50-50.
It's a close 50-50 chance. 50-50 chance. Well, look at it way. Like here's how we can tell how ineffective anger is. Like don't take our word for it. When I – like if you reflect on your own experiences and the listeners reflect on theirs and I reflect on mine, I see that when the anger subsides – like, oh God, I totally got caught in that. I have a headache. Like it feels
feel like
icky after, it feels icky afterward. I feel frustrated for like losing my cool and making like compounding the situation, making it even worse. And, there's usually regret. Like I usually, when I lose my cool or get really caught up in my anger, as it subsides, it's followed by regret. It's not like, I'm so glad I hung on to that. Thank God. You know, it's like,
or if you're that person that's holding on to a grudge, it still feels just as gross. If you're holding on to that age old, you know, I don't know, Clampett's versus, no, what am I thinking of? Oh God, I'm turning into you. Not Clampets. The McCoys versus the... Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, you rubbed off on me. I'm so sorry.
It's the Southern Families that they made like a show out of it.
I wish I could tell you.
Somebody write in, right on the Facebook wall and tell us who this is. It's the two Southern Families. All right. The War of the Roses. Doesn't matter. Somebody. If you're holding onto that grudge, it still feels just as gross once the emotion wears away, which it always does. Once it passes, right. Even if you still feel like I'm justified, it doesn't feel good.
Right.
Like you don't feel like, yeah, I totally got him this time. You still feel like, God, I wish you feel you could have, like you said, a headache. You could feel nauseous. It's like, it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And it's similar to anxiety in that, you know, when we're really anxious, it's uncomfortable and we get really busy trying to like thwart that discomfort. So we'll seek reassurance, we'll run away, we'll avoid, we'll ruminate, right? It's just,
oh, yeah.
When we're uncomfortable, it's all about how do we move through that discomfort? And depending how we move through it, kind of depends how quickly it passes. And if that emotion like becomes habitual or, you know, can cause suffering for us. So when anger hits, it's like Brené Brown says with blame, you know, like the reason we blame people is because it's a quick way to release the tension behind an uncomfortable emotion. Like when we do something stupid, you know, like I think she drops a mug and she's like, damn it, Steve, her husband into that whole thing.
I'm going to put that video on our little Facebook page.
Cause it's a great awesome. One. It's a great one.
Yeah. It's a little animated couple minute thing. She's so great.
Yeah. And she says, you know, it's in that moment when she's like made a mistake and has to clean up the mug she just dropped. It's a lot easier. Blame is a quick way to kind of disperse or release that uncomfortable emotion rather than, you know, taking accountability, responsibility, cleaning it up and moving it on. And it's the same with anger, reacting and kind of like firing off an ill-advised email, like might feel like really good in the moment. You know what
Never
I mean?
Never hit reply all, everybody. Never. Don't do it. I feel like it just gave me like my butt puckered a little there. Oh, God. Reply all is like that's what I ruminate about. Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. And sometimes, sometimes like giving into that emotion, like just obeying what it's yelling at us to do, releases just a little bit of tension. But again, it's usually followed by regret. Like, why did I send that email? Ugh, why did I tell Andy he's an idiot? Like, oh God, I did it. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to keep my cool.
Poor Andy.
Yeah, poor Andy.
You know what you told me that was like so helpful after I hung up on you and I got over my rage? What you kind of questioned me on this about my anger. You were like, is it about control? Are you like mad that you're not in control of the situation? And that's where it hit home for me that anxiety and anger were like the same exact thing, that it's all about
control.
So yeah. When I'm feeling sad and anxious or scared and anxious, like the flight part of it, it's because I'm not in control of something.
Yep.
Typically. And with anger, how dare you do this at me / to me?
Yep.
I'm not in control. And that was kind of a like, oh, okie dokie. Well, there's that. Well, there it is.
Yeah.
And then like everything, we have the double arrow thing. So you have that initial reaction. You can't help if you feel angry. Okay,
right,
whatever.
Exactly. Like, you can't. Totally fine. You cannot help whatever emotional experience arises in you.
Good luck. Good luck trying to help it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can't
that's
help.
The thing. That's
you
the
react.
Point.
Part of being human is sometimes we have completely logical reactions and sometimes they don't appear super logical. Like we are emotional beings. It's not always going to be perfectly logical. Absolutely not. And what
your brain thinks it is, that's why it's reacting that way.
That's why it's, yeah, exactly. That's why it's reacting that way. And
your brains are dumb.
We can't help what shows up. We can help what we kind of do with it. Like, yeah. I can fire off that ill-advised email or scream at Andy and scream at everybody. Or I can bring a little bit of awareness to the situation, know what anger looks like for me. Because again, in the past, I didn't even know I was angry as I rushed through the grocery store and everybody got in my way and line and all this. I didn't know I was angry. I really thought these people are being dumb. Not I'm angry. These people are being dumb and slow and inefficient and
on purpose.
On purpose. Like
to you. Of to all me. The people in the world.
These strangers are doing this to me. So one, bringing awareness. Know, like next time you're angry, look at what's happening. Like, where do you feel it? What thoughts arise? Like, for me, I know it's, again, it's those thoughts of someone's doing this to me. How could they? A sense of like injustice. And it feels, again, very similar to anxiety. Our heart rate increases, our chest gets tight, we get sweaty, our breathing becomes faster and shallower. And that's why sometimes anger, if we're really angry, it can lead to anxiety. And sometimes when we're anxious, yeah, it can lead to anger. Like, they often go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Often go hand in hand. So know what it looks like. One, we have to just know that we're angry and what that looks like for us and how it shows up. And then taking that little bit of space. It can be literally counting to 10 or like figuratively counting to 10, just slowing it down. Just I'm pausing for a minute before I react. Like, let me just give myself a minute. And we can almost bring the same investigative nature that we talked about in the RAIN exercise. Not like, why am I mad? But like, what's happening here? What's really going on? And then we realize, oh, like for me, I often get impatient in line. That's where I would get most mad at people. And it's like, oh, I'm just impatient because standing in line kind of sucks. It's not really fun. It's boring.
Yeah, things to do.
Yeah, it's not really a thrilling experience. And I'm trying to rush through it. And, you know, there's a part of me that understands, oh, that's on me. And then our perspective kind of naturally increases when we slow down like that. We realize, hey, maybe that lady taking out all those coupons needs to pay with those coupons. Or maybe she doesn't know how to
write a check.
Or write a check. Maybe she doesn't. Yeah, I know. Or, you know, maybe she doesn't know how to use the credit card machine. Or maybe she's just having a harebrained moment. Like, that is okay too. I have them all the time whenever I'm trying to. Like a harebrained moment. Like my mom used to say, is that not a thing?
Compared to what other kind of harebrained?
Haven't you ever, like, oh, they're a harebrained? Like, is that not the term?
It could be. I've just never heard it.
If only I could look it up while I'm. It's something my mom.
I was going to say, the last podcast you didn't have a backwards idiom, and I think you've disappointed thousands and thousands of people.
I know. I think it's called a harebrained moment. My mom used to say
it. Could be. I don't know. Just never heard it.
Oh, me neither. I'm like kind of looking it up as we speak. Harebrained moment.
Don't look it up. I believe you. I just never heard
it. Wow, it really doesn't come up in Google anywhere. Maybe it's not called a harebrained moment. Okay, so a ditzy, let's change it. Maybe just like a spaced out, right? Like kind of a spaced out ditzy.
I completely forget what we were talking about because you distracted me.
Well, like when we feel like they get in our way, when we feel like they get in our way and we're like, oh God, they're such an idiot. Maybe it really is just a moment of like ditziness or like not being aware. And that's okay too, because I have those. Like, even though I get mad at people when they have those, I have them all the time, like trying to recite idioms, you know, like it's a ditzy, not like.
It's not ditzy. You're like the smartest person I know. It just makes me feel so good that you have this one thing.
Yep.
That you don't know. Just let me have it. Just give it to me, would you? Just let me have it.
So that's the point, right? Slowing it down.
I have
a
friend who listens to our podcast, and he, God bless him, he said, I love the advice you give, but sometimes it feels really girly. So I punched him in the face. But I think what he meant to say was it feels like hippy dippy. Like some people, when we say the words awareness or, you know, it feels like, can I say that out loud? Like, do I have to change? Do I have to start wearing beads or do I have to, you know, wear patchouli oil? I think like really listen to what we're saying. Like just take a breather.
Yep.
So if somebody
cuts
you off,
just look at it. That's all.
Right. For me, I don't have wise awareness ever. So if somebody does that to me, I have to like make it kind of extreme. I have to say to myself like, oh, that person is clearly on their way to like say goodbye to their dying father. They must need to get in front of me. Like I kind of have to make it kind of outrageous.
Yeah.
To take myself out of it and
to snap yourself out of
it. Could be something else. Like they're just, is it possible that there's another story here?
Right. I love that. Could something else, right? That's like a little investigative too. Could something else be going on here?
A little Byron Katie. Is it possible?
It is. It is a little Byron Katie. Look at you.
I'm growing so fast.
You could practically put on a flowing monk robes.
I could practically be on a podcast.
it's hard though. It's hard to let go of anger.
That's what I have. Oh God, it's so oof.
Don't do it every time.
I don't do it ever. I mean, that's not true. I clearly do, but I do this to my family. I think we all are worse to our families than anybody else, but
Because they have to
my
love us no matter what. We can
they
get
shoot, they do.
it.
My dad's 60th birthday was this September, and we had a surprise party for him stupidly on Labor Day weekend, and there was just a lot going on. It was like kind of, an inconvenient time to have a birthday. And we had it at the Saratoga Racetrack, which is, it was crowded. It was the busiest weekend of the year. And I offered to like run the errands, like get the food. And it was just a comedy of errors. Like everything went wrong. Everything wasn't ready when it was supposed to be. I couldn't get things places. I was sweaty. And my mom, bless her, showed up with like decorations and started, I was setting up the table and she started putting stuff all over the table. And I just looked at her and I was like, why are you doing this to me? Like just exploded at her. And I was so angry. And I could like see on everybody's face, like, don't cross her. Like,
Don't
don't,
cry,
the
don't poke the
dragon is
bear. The
here. Like,
dragon is here.
and I had enough
Dragon lord.
awareness of myself now to see like, oh my God, this is how people react to me when I'm like this. They like cower, I'm ruining somebody's birthday because I'm overwhelmed. So I've started in my old crotchety wise age, when I start to feel that literal build in my chest of, I can't even.
You see it a little
Like,
sooner.
well, I see it. I think I see it sooner. And if I
Yeah.
don't, what I've started doing is saying, looking at the closest person, like, you are officially my EMT for the situation, and I'm feeling overwhelmed. That actually saying I'm overwhelmed, or
Yeah.
I'm not feeling hot here. Like, what's going? Like, something's and like getting it out of my brain. Like, I'm
Yeah.
overwhelmed, and then they kind of look at me like, okay,
Okay.
but at
All
least
right.
it's out there, and then I'm kind of articulating like, it's not you, it's me,
Right. Right. Letting them know, and it kind of prevents it from becoming a big situation.
Yeah, it's like when you're Italian, when you boil pasta and you put a wooden spoon
Yep.
for the thing so it doesn't boil over.
Yep.
Saying I'm overwhelmed is my wooden spoon.
It's my
Boom.
wooden spoon. Yeah.
Crushed it.
And that's awareness, right? That is just one way that awareness can look. It's just acknowledging it. It's saying it out loud. It's saying it in our head. It's saying it on a piece of paper, whatever it is. Like, I notice this building within me.
Yeah.
And that's what creates the space. Like, again, when I was running through life angry all the time, impatient, I just didn't know. I didn't know. I thought that's just how life was. You go through angry, impatient, and everybody gets in the way. But acknowledging it or just being aware of it creates a little bit of space to like let the anger subside or calm down a little, so we have a better idea as to how to respond in the situation if there needs to be any response at all. Often we really don't need to do
Yeah.
anything. It's just like, it's like,
90% of the
it
time,
really
you
is.
don't have to do anything. You
Yeah.
are not the protector of all things ethical,
Yeah.
everybody. Like, if that person cuts you off, it's not your job to teach them a lesson. Or
Right. It's
if
often
that
our
person
ego,
is,
right? It's kind of like
it's our
our ego
ego.
looking for,
Oh, babe, yeah.
it's our ego looking for protection, our ego that we kind of is a made up entity and sometimes in some ways anyway. So we're like kind of protecting this like false entity, but the ego loves like to feel like it's in the right, like it's
Yeah.
justified. Like that's poor Andy. I would always like, again, like back
Poor
in the
Andy.
day, I would come back and tell him about all the people that got in my way, because I felt like if I just like tirelessly vented about it and Andy agreed with me, then it's like, see, they're the idiots, not me. Like my ego was like,
Right.
that feels so good.
I feel like the best
Like,
thing anybody has ever
please.
done for me is to be like, are you done?
Are you doing?
Like
Yeah.
if I go on like a whole thing, like, and furthermore, this idiot, and they're like, wow, you're really kind of mean. Like, you done?
You're like, ooh, I am caught in that.
Like,
Whoops.
ooh.
Whoops. The reason it often doesn't require action is because it's like most emotions, it's usually like just a fleeting, temporary experience in however we're seeing that moment, right? Like there are some
We
things,
let it, yeah.
yeah, there are some things, think about how variable it is. Like sometimes I don't care at all when a line is moving slowly. Sometimes I
Yeah.
care greatly. Like that just goes to show like there's nothing to be
It's not the
done.
thing.
Yeah, it's not
Yeah.
the
Well, you've
thing.
talked about this before, about stress. Like, it's not the thing that's happening. It's what you're adding into it.
Yeah, it's just how we're relating to it or seeing it in
Yeah.
that moment and the story, whatever the story is.
A story. So make up a new story. I have to like really intentionally do that.
Yeah.
The new story is not that he's doing this at me and he's clearly ruining the fabric of our moral society. It's he had a really bad day and he just got really bad news and he has to go give that news to somebody else. Or he has really good news and he can't wait and he's just so distracted because he just won the lottery. Or so I don't know. Make up a story. Make it funny. Dude, just get out of your head. Give it a second.
Yeah.
My mom used to say, or probably would still say if I gave her the chance to speak, is think before you say things and you won't be sorry later. She doesn't have an accent. That's just what she sounds like in my head. But that was the adage. Like, don't hit reply all. Don't flip that guy off just because he got you off. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're not, and it's not the same as saying don't ever do anything. Like, anger is not inherently bad, especially if there's like a real injustice going on, like a human rights issue. Anger can be like a really great catalyst for action. We're not saying never do anything or be a doormat or don't stand up for yourself.
Oh, no.
It's just slow down. That's all.
But you're not going to get your point across. You're not going to make any change, eat small or grand.
Even if it's a good point.
If you're hot and bothered,
right. People are dismissive.
If you have some sort of major injustice going on, you still need the space to articulate yourself so you can be heard.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, I've learned that the hard way for show.
Because even if someone's right, if they're yelling it at me, I'm going to completely discount them and discredit them and not listen to a word at all.
And this isn't the scariest thing on earth. And, you know, your mom was Italian and super scary, it seems. It's but so scary. If she was quiet and you were in trouble, if she was just like, I am really disappointed, wasn't that scarier than if she yelled at you?
Than the yelling? Absolutely. Like, yelling was just, I mean, that was part of the everyday process. Like, yelling is like, okay, you know, business as usual, we're good. Like, she was just, really was just her natural volume, like yelling.
you inherited that.
I know.
Everyone should know that Kelly is so trying so hard every podcast you have a beautiful speaking voice and just as calmly and as quietly as you can. I know you try.
I try not
because
to yell.
I talk to you before the podcast and you scream at me the whole time. But it's just your normal. That's just your.
I think I must be like partially deaf because again, Andy's always like, I'm right here when I'm talking to him. And he's like, I'm right here. And I used to be like, stop trying to change me. And so he'd walk across the room as I was talking. And that was his gentle way of saying, you are far too loud right now.
Oh my God. I want you guys to like write a book about marriage. Okay. The stuff you tell me is just the best.
Yep. So yeah, anger and anxiety, two sides of the same coin. That's why it's called fight or flight. Yeah. Anything else you wanted to share about any revelations about anger? You cover it all?
No, I feel better just talking about it. We've been talking about this forever.
I know. Well, it came up a lot this week. I had a few people a few clients so like begrudgingly admit like, I've been really angry. Is that normal? And I'm like, oh gosh, yes.
I'm so angry. I did the same thing. There was a point in our coaching where I was like, I have this one thing. I'm so wise and enlightened now, but I have intolerable rage and I want to kill everybody. Like, normal?
Is this okay? Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. No. This is a great time of year because we all have to be around our families and we're just mad at everybody.
Yeah.
We're just really mad. Yeah. I think we should all take a break from this holiday. I think you and Andy should come to Troy and we can just have a big Troy fest.
I heard there might be ribs.
No, I said a standing rib roast.
Oh, what's that?
Not ribs.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay.
Was that the reason you were like, maybe? I mean, I'll make you ribs if that's what you want for
what's
Christmas.
What's like a pot roast? Is that what standing rib roast is? Oh my gosh.
You're like borderline a genius. I don't understand. A standing rib roast is like, it's a cut of meat, beef, and it's what they make like those giant like on like the How the Grinch Stole Christmas cartoon steaks. It's like a huge slab of...
That but sounds it's
a,
good.
A roast, and it has these huge ribs in it that it literally stands when you cook it. And then you cut it into like steak. It's delicious. I make a whole mustard crust. It's awesome.
That sounds really good. Okay. I was like, oh, ribs.
Make your ribs if you
want. No, that sounds even better.
Erica's making ribs for Christmas. I'm on my way.
Everybody listening on the
podcast. Did you have like a whole vision of me like having like a smoker outside? Like how did that work?
A little bit. Seriously.
Let's keep that myth going. Yeah. I'm a rib
connoisseur here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody listening in, Erica is hosting Christmas. So if we all just want to head to Troy, New York,
you just want to head.
I hear there's going to be ribs.
Yeah, they. My name is spelled KELLIWAL. Yeah, and anybody's welcome if you bring your own rib roast.
Okay, cool. I will go get that.
I don't trust you. Actually, don't, because you'll end up bringing home like a bunch of chicken or something. You don't know what's going on in the grocery store.
I don't know what's going on. No. No. So anger and anxiety. If anybody feels like they have more questions about anger being the flip side of anxiety, shoot us an email. We're happy to talk about it more or, you know, kind of cover a different take on it. Otherwise.
Or if you remember the name of the families from the South that have the feud.
Oh, yes. Because I have no idea.
Email one of us. Somebody.
Yes, please. 10 points. We need points for whoever like can correct our idioms and.
I think we should have a game.
Yeah, it should be a game.
Mm, anyway.
So that's our episode. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe. Take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching courses or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.